Exodus 28, verse 31. And thou shalt make the robe of the ephod of ephod all of blue, and there shall be an hole in the top of it, in the midst thereof. It shall have a binding of woven work round about the whole of it, as it were the whole of an habergeon, that it be not rent. And beneath upon the hem of it, thou shalt make pomegranates of blue and of purple and of scarlet round about the hem thereof, and bells of gold between them round about, a golden bell and a pomegranate, and a golden bell and a pomegranate upon the hem of the robe round about. And it shall be upon Aaron to minister, and his sound shall be heard when he goeth in unto the holy place before the Lord, and when he cometh out, that he die not. And thou shalt make a pure plate of pure gold, and grave upon it, like the engravings of a signet, holiness to the Lord. And thou shalt put it on a blue lace, that it may be upon the mitre. Upon the forefront of the mitre it shall be, and it shall be upon Aaron's forehead, that Aaron may bear the iniquity of the holy things, which the children of Israel shall hallow in all their holy gifts. And it shall be always upon his forehead, that they may be accepted before the Lord. The Lord will bless the reading of his word.
Thank you, Young. So today we come to the last of the three items that make up the garments of Israel's high priest, even Aaron. We may sometimes wonder why God went to such lengths to design these different items in order that Aaron the high priest might be clothed with. It's a good thing to remember when we're handling types in Old Testament scripture that often, as in this case, you see what God designed in these garments for Aaron was that he might be typically what Christ is essentially. For you see, he was not the heavenly man. And of course, we find that there are those things associated with Aaron as a high priest that would not be altogether true in relation to Christ as literally. And so we find that God so designed the clothing of the high priest that Aaron might represent typically what our great high priest is essentially. And so we've looked at the ephod with its girdle and with its shoulder pieces with the onyx stones. We considered the breastplate that was of the same material, four square, from which there were 12 precious stones, each stone representing one of the tribes of the children of Israel. And it's interesting that God said unto Aaron, he always must appear before him with the breastplate continually. In other words, in that setting, God would always have before him his people in their preciousness as he appreciated them. And so Aaron was to wear the breastplate upon his heart. And every time he was before the Lord, the people of God in those 12 tribes would be before the Lord in him. And so we find that today, our Lord Jesus Christ has gone into heaven itself. And we thank God he bears us upon his heart constantly, continually. We are before the Lord in him. So this afternoon we come to this. We have the robe that was all of blue. And along the hem of it, there was to be a pomegranate and a gold bell. A pomegranate and a gold bell. And so round the whole of the hem of the garment, all of blue. And then we have the mitre, that which was the head covering of Aaron, often referred to as a turban. And then we have the plate of pure gold, upon which was inscribed, holiness unto the Lord. So I thought that as we come to these closing pieces of Aaron's garments as high priest, we might learn something fresh in relation to our great high priest, even our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice again the robe that he was to wear. I take that with the outer robe, over the ephod, that he would enter into the very holy place in that robe all of blue. And in that we see the heavenly character of the one who is our great high priest. For as we've seen before in these colours, the blue speaks of Christ as a heavenly man, of a heavenly character. And so in this robe there would be all blue. There'd be no scarlet, there'd be no purple, there's no gold. It was all blue, setting before us our Lord Jesus Christ as our great high priest, who's actually gone into heaven itself to appear before the presence of God for us. And so in that robe, we see again emphasize the heavenly character of the Lord Jesus, who was indeed the heavenly man. You see, when the Lord Jesus really came from heaven into manhood, and now he's taken that manhood back to heaven. When he came out from heaven, he was not a high priest. When he went back to heaven at his ascension, remember, God said unto him, "Thou art a priest for; thou shalt be a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." So the priesthood of Christ belongs to him now as a man back in heaven, the place from which he came. Of course, that was essential for him to come first before he could be a priest. For he needed to know experimentally some of the trials that we pass through in our present time. And so the Lord, he came a real man. He experienced the trials of humanity and living in this world. And therefore that made him competent to be our great high priest. For he's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. And so we are benefited from the ministry of one who was once here, now in heaven, our great high priest, and his heavenly character is actually established by this robe all of blue. But then what is our great high priest engaged in heaven? Well, notice what it says about the hem of that garment. It speaks about a pomegranate, a golden bell. And if you look at the very next verse from where that first is said, the order has changed. It becomes a golden bell and a pomegranate. And so we find that these two, the pomegranates, which were made up, of course, of blue and purple and scarlet in the shape of a pomegranate, and it was sewn onto the hem of the high priest, and then with that, the golden bell. And so we find that in these two items that cover the hem of the high priest, our Lord Jesus Christ, now in heaven, typified in that, we learn something of the fruitful ministry of the great high priest in heaven on our behalf. You will know, of course, a pomegranate is noted for its fruitfulness. If you ever had one, cut them in half, you will know exactly what I mean. There are a multitude of seeds. Each seed is found in a scarlet liquid. And so we find that this pomegranate that adorned the hem of the high priest of Israel sets forth the character of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ in all its fruitfulness. And so just as Aaron represented Israel's tribes when he went into the holy place, and his ministry at the golden altar was one of intercession, one of worship, was all on the part of Israel's 12 tribes. And so the Lord Jesus Christ, he's gone into heaven, engaged in a fruitful ministry on behalf of each and every one of us. Of course, we do remember what Hebrews has to say to us. He ever lives to make intercession for us, indicating to us, of course, that in heaven the picture is this: the Lord Jesus Christ constantly at the golden altar of incense, engaged in presenting the prayers of his people, representing them before his Father, And that fruitful ministry was such that he was making constant intercession for us. I don't suppose we really appreciate, as we should, that the value of the high priestly ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. What would we be apart from his constant intercession for us before his Father? But you see, such is the perfection of our great high priest. We are perfectly represented in him before God. And so we find there's a pomegranate upon the hem of his garment, all of blue. But then there was a gold bell. And so it went on round the hem of the garment, alternatively. And the gold bell said when its sound would be heard, when he went into the holy place, and when he came out of the holy place. Pretty interesting, isn't it? On the one hand, you've got the fruitful ministry in the pomegranate. On the other hand, you've got the sound of the golden bell as our great high priest moves within the very sanctuary in heaven. You see, when Aaron went into the sanctuary on earth, the sound was for the ears of God. Such were all the drapes, of course, and the veils. The sound of the golden bell would now have been heard outside of the holy place. But when Aaron went into the holy place, the bell sounded, and that sound was for the ear of God. And so our Lord Jesus Christ, he's gone into heaven itself. And how thankful we are to think that in heaven we have such a high priest as the Lord Jesus, who's engaged in a fruitful ministry of intercession, and also who actually moved every movement, gave for the pleasure of God the sound of those golden bells. But of course, you could look at that again dispensationally. And what I mean by that is this. You see, there is the fruitful ministry of Christ dispensationally. And of course, the sound of the golden bell, again, dispensationally. What I mean is this. When the Lord Jesus Christ went back to heaven, he actually took up that position of being our great high priest. But see, having accomplished his death at Calvary, his resurrection, and now his ascension into heaven itself, as a result of all that, you see, the Spirit of God has been sent down. And the Spirit of God having been sent down, we have now dispensationally the fruitful ministry of the Holy Spirit in this world. And furthermore, the result of the ministry of the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2 was about 3,000 souls were saved. And how were they saved? Well, Peter was the preacher. As Peter stood up on that day of Pentecost and preached the gospel for the first time unto the many Jews who were there, it was like the sound of the golden bells. And the sound of the golden bells bringing before the people that was listening to Peter something of the greatness and glory of the gospel message that he preached that would bring them into relationship with God. And so you see dispensationally, when the Lord went up into heaven, the Holy Spirit was sent down from heaven. And through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, 3,000 souls were saved. And the Holy Spirit used the Apostle Peter in the preaching of the gospel. And so when the Lord went up at the first occasion, when he went in, that's what happened here upon earth. But it says of Aaron that he went in and he went out. And so we see dispensationally, the Lord Jesus Christ will come out again. He came out in incarnation. He's gone into heaven now on the ground of all that he accomplished at Calvary and by resurrection and his ascension. But in the purposes of God, stated for us in Psalm number 2, God is determined to bring into the habitable world again his firstborn. And so the Lord Jesus Christ is destined to come into the world again. If his first going up into heaven produced such a ministry so that 3,000 souls were saved. And there were people now upon earth that glorified God. What will it be when he comes out a second time with those pomegranates and golden bells and with the sound of his preaching and the character of his ministry? You think of how fruitful that ministry will be during that millennial period, the Lord Jesus Christ having come out from heaven, and that to establish a ministry upon earth to bring unto God a people who would worship and who would serve him. And so you see, just from this robe all of blue, we have the heavenly man, his fruitful ministry in heaven at this present moment, and the sound of the golden bells that brought delight and pleasure to the heart of God. And so it will be again, in a far greater way, I guess, when he comes out from heaven, and with him all Israel shall be saved, and multitudes of Gentiles outnumber saved. And so we find that our great high priest in heaven, today in type, clothed now with that robe all of blue, the heavenly man, engaged in a fruitful ministry in heaven, and we benefit from that ministry every day. But then we're introduced to the mitre. The mitre was the head covering of Aaron the high priest. It marked him out from his sons who would be the priesthood. See, they would have bonnets of fine twined linen. Aaron would have a mitre. There have been one or two ways which that has been described. It's been described as a tiara, that which has been wound around the head of Aaron the high priest again and again and again, and so form a tiara. Others say as a turban. It just made Aaron distinctive from his brethren who were the priests. And so we find that mitre that was made of fine twined linen. As far as Aaron was concerned, it brought him before the presence of God in a spirit of submission and subjection, and if you will, subordination, because he came to the presence of God. And so we find that's why Aaron wore the mitre, and he went into the presence of God always with the mitre. And so we find it not only marked him out distinctive from his brethren, it also brought him before God in that attitude of submission to his will and subordination to his greatness. And so we find that the mitre was upon the head of Aaron. Now our Lord Jesus Christ, he does not wear a mitre. You see, the mitre was necessary for Aaron because upon that mitre at the forefront, he was to wear a plate of pure gold engraved with these words, holiness unto the Lord. And so we find, as far as our Lord Jesus Christ is concerned, he has no mitre. And of course, he's not wearing a plate of pure gold. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ is ever in the presence of God. And of course, he's on equality with God. And because of that co-equality of divine persons, our Lord Jesus operates and he ministers as our great high priest with that fruitful ministry. And yet all the time, as down here, he moved in submission to the will of God. And I take it, even now in heaven, our great high priest, the Lord Jesus, he's always moving in submission to the will of God. And so that's the second piece in our passage today. The third piece is this, the plate of pure gold, inscribed with holiness unto the Lord. And says God, like as to the breastplate, he was always to wear that continually before the Lord. And why? Well, of course, our passage did say, for our acceptance. And so in our great high priest today, even as Israel in their high priest was represented, so we are represented in our great high priest, accepted before God in him, just as the 12 tribes of Israel were accepted by God in their high priest, even Aaron. And so it's for our acceptance. I think I may have said before, you see, our acceptance actually not only belongs to the burnt offering, for a man brought his burnt offering for his acceptance. And then, of course, on the Feast of First Fruits, they would bring the sheaf and wave it before the Lord for the acceptance of the people. And so in those two types, we find our acceptance is on the basis of the death of Christ as a whole burnt offering. And now it's our great high priest in heaven as a wave sheathed first fruits of the harvest wave before the Lord. And now we find that inscribed upon this plate of pure gold, holiness unto the Lord for the acceptance of the people. Marvelous, isn't it, really? To think that you and I, at this moment in time, we find perfect acceptance before God in our great high priest, even the Lord Jesus Christ. But that then may raise a question. Then why did God design this plate of pure gold and also give instructions that it should be engraved with holiness unto the Lord? It was to meet the needs of Israel as far as Aaron was concerned. For you see, when they brought their gifts of the holy things, you see, it wasn't without the fact that they were actually marked by sin and defilement. And so Aaron wearing this plate of pure gold and declaring holiness unto the Lord met the need of Israel when they came with their gifts unto the Lord as a sign of their worship. And so we find that the plate was to be worn continually before the Lord. When we think of our Lord Jesus Christ, we are represented in him in all his holiness. Now we worship and we serve God, but our worship and service before God is not untouched by our defilement and by our failure and by our weakness. But because we are represented in one who wears this plate of pure gold, declaring holiness unto the Lord, you see, we find acceptance with God when we come before him with our worship, with our praise, with our thanksgiving, with our prayers. All is accepted to God because we come in the Lord Jesus Christ and through his perfect representation of us. And so we find that just as we then come before God in this way, when we worship and when we praise him, all the failure and all the weakness is met by that the holiness of Christ. Of course, it does look back, doesn't it, to his death at Calvary. It's because of his death at Calvary that he now wears, as it were, the plate of pure gold, holiness unto the Lord, because in his death at Calvary, he met every claim of the holiness of God. Every divine claim of holiness he met, and he satisfied. He met and satisfied the holiness of God with all its claims when he died upon that cross, and those claims have been met eternally. And it is because of that that we can come before God today only too conscious of our failure and not of our sin. But because of the work of our Lord Jesus Christ, accomplished at Calvary through his death there, the holiness of God has been satisfied. And in that satisfaction, we come before God. For as I've said before on many an occasion, God sees us perfect in the Lord Jesus Christ. So when Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4 says this, chosen in him before the foundation of the world, that we might be holy and without blemish before him. Hard for us to realize. Actually, God sees us holy now. God sees us without blemish now. Why? Because we are represented in Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ has met every claim of divine holiness. And therefore, we can actually come before God. And God sees us holy and without blame. He accepts our worship and our praise, although tainted so often with our failure, with our sin. He accepts it because he sees us in that holiness. It's cried upon that golden plate, a reminder the death of Christ was such, it satisfied the claims of all the holiness of God. And so you see how God designed these different items for the high priest to wear, because he always ever had before him his own beloved son. So what Aaron would be typically, his son was and always has been essentially. And so we thank God. We have a high priest who is touched with the feelings of our infirmities at this present time. And we benefit from his continued ministry, ever living to make intercession for us. And after all, when we fail, when we sin, he's able to save us. Well, we are brought to God through him, and we are saved from present sin in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we find then that these garments set forth in this typical way in Aaron, Israel's high priest, just a picture, only a shadow really, of all that Christ is, our great high priest, the heavenly man, occupied now in the heavenly sanctuary, ever before God, representing us in all his perfection. And God sees us in him, holy and without blemish. So you see, when we come to these passages in Old Testament scripture, there are lessons to be learned. There are beautiful thoughts actually to be derived from considering. Well, I used to think when I first saved, they were just dry old types. But no, in these types, there's a wonderful revelation of the perfection and the glories and the beauties of the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. What he will be officially in that coming day, when he will be the administrator of the universe and King of Israel. And we thank God what he is for us today. So we conclude this little section of our studies over 3 weeks on these garments. And we trust that, as we've just explained in some measure, the typical meaning and how they bring before us how privileged we are to have such an high priest, as Hebrews chapter 8 would remind us. Not Aaron, one far greater than Aaron, for Aaron failed. Aaron had to bring his own sin offering. Aaron had to be washed all over before he put these garments on. You see, let me repeat again. It made Aaron typically what Christ is essentially. And we trust that God will bless these meditations to us.